This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Buddy, thank you.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Welcome to the second hour. Our first hour, we had Dave Levitt here in studio. We talked about Jerky for the Troops, a promotion that David is his brainchild, and he started. We had Captain Joe call in from Arlington, Virginia, to tell us about the importance of receiving things from home here, especially around the holiday season. So, if you'd like to ask any questions about Jerky for the Troops, we'll be more than glad to answer those questions for you. But we're going to change gears right now. We're going to talk from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. We're going to talk to our buddy, Chris Judy. Good morning, Chris. Are you there?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, pretty good for this early in the morning.
Yeah.
But going well.
Hey, if I remember right, November has an R in it. I don't know if that means anything to you or not, but... I understand that you run the Maryland Grows Oysters program.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, okay, Maryland, but Chesapeake Bay grows oysters, and the watermen go out and harvest oysters. And what's MGO? What's Maryland Grows Oysters? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. MGO is a program where waterfront property owners with piers can grow oysters at their pier. They tend them for 9 months, take care of them, and then they're removed from cages that we provide. And the oysters then go to a sanctuary. So basically, it's a homegrown, home-based oyster enhancement program to help our sanctuaries. And also, we're enhancing, I guess you could say, the population of stewards. We're trying to cultivate stewardship among Bay residents.
So if I own a property and I've got a waterfront pier, you provide me with cages to raise oysters, and then you come and collect the oysters, the spat, and put those on the oyster sanctuaries and increase the oyster population. And this is all done voluntarily through the MGO program.
Yeah, that's correct, except there's a short nuance to that. These rivers, we have 30 rivers, which we can discuss if you'd like to, but the rivers organize the collection of the oysters themselves. So this is really a local-based effort. We provide cages and spat for free. The people take care of the oysters, and then they collect them at a later date, 9 months later,
yep,
and plant them in the sanctuaries.
Kind of like having a baby.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. 9 months later, here it comes.
I love that idea. That's great. And how many Marylanders are growing oysters at this point?
Okay, well, in the 30 rivers, we have approximately, I think it's about 1,700 people in the program in terms of, you know, addresses. But if you think about it, each address, you know, may have a spouse or a kid or two. Or,
oh, sure.
Yeah, so if you think 1,700 times, say, two,
yeah,
well, that jumps in. And then if you think, well, there's maybe some other relatives that help, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we think it's probably in the area of 2,000 to 3,000 people easily.
Okay.
And another aspect of this, some school systems are involved.
Okay.
And in Annapolis, the Annapolis Maritime Museum works with the city of Annapolis and Anne Arundel County Schools. There's 2,000 students in that program alone that come to City Dock Annapolis to tend oysters.
Really?
Yeah, so we're up to, 3,000 to 4,000 people connected with the program.
With raising oysters in Maryland. And then can you get them back? I mean, you know, you go around and deliver a bushel of oysters to each of these folks that raise them for you?
Let's see. The way that works, each pier, if we're talking private pier owners, which that's, 99% of who we work with.
Right.
Each pier gets four cages. A cage, I guess I should explain, if you think of, if you buy a pair of boots,
right,
from your favorite outdoor supply company,
right,
you get a nice big pair of winter boots, the box is pretty big.
Yeah.
So it's about a really large shoe box,
yeah,
a cage. A cage will hold around 300 spat that,
okay,
we provide. They grow them up. Some die. You know, they don't all live. So probably coming out of a cage, you've got 250 or something like that. Or if you were receiving, say, 500 spat, which might happen if the hatchery has a really good year, you might remove 9 months later 300 larger spat.
Okay.
So we're in the hundreds per cage, to give a short answer.
Well, the answer was, you know, the question was, once the oysters are grown to edible size, do you deliver oysters back to the pier owners? I'm trying to be a little bit funny, but that's okay. Didn't work well. Yeah. I mean, you know, do you get a bushel of oysters for your effort?
Oh, I see what you mean. No, I tell you, on that note, there's no eating of these oysters, so no bushels are delivered. There's no sauce, no shucking knife.
Nothing.
These are for sanctuaries and to help the bay.
I got you. Yeah. All right. Well, oysters do filter the water. They filter pollution and the nutrients out. So you are doing your part to help clean up the bay. So you're telling me that if I've got a pier, I get up to how many cages?
Okay, yeah, 4 cages, and each one might have
400 to 500 spat.
400 to 500 spat.
Okay, and so then, long story short, you might wind up with 1,200 spat, 1,200 larval oysters that are going to be taken to oyster sanctuary and grow into adult oysters.
Yeah, and they'll be maybe 1.5 inches after that 9 month period.
Right. Okay, and then you recycle. Once you collect the oysters, or somebody collects the oysters, then you restock the cages for the same landowner. Is that right, or the same waterfront?
Exactly. Yeah, and we deliver in September.
Right,
they grow until June.
Okay,
oysters are removed in June. The people keep the cages at their home.
Right.
Then we come back the next September, Oyster Recovery Partnership. I got to give them a plug. They do the deliveries with a big truck they have.
Yeah.
So the people get new spat every September to refill their empty cages.
Yep.
And you wonder, well, why aren't the cages in the water in the summer? Oysters, because
water's too warm.
Pardon?
Water's too warm.
Well, it's too warm, and what would happen? The cage, we've done it. We did it 1 year. We learned the hard way.
Yeah.
The cage becomes heavily fouled with growth.
Yeah.
It's all these living creatures that grow on rocks or the bottom of your boat if you don't paint it. The cage is alive with life, which is a good thing.
Right.
But it's so heavy. A cage could weigh 40 pounds just due to the fouling growth.
Right.
So we have people take the cages out to prevent them from becoming
heavy. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense, absolutely. And then back in September, the cages go back in, the oyster spat goes back in, and you start the 9 month cycle all over again.
Yeah, so even with oyster growing, everybody gets a summer break.
Well, that's good.
A little vacation.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
All right, speaking of a little break, time for me to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. They're geared up for hunting season. They've got muzzleloaders, they've got rifles, they've got shotguns. They've got just about every brand you could want, need, or imagine. They've got slug guns. They've got the H&R single shots. They've got the all the bolt-action shotguns, the Browning shotguns for waterfowl and deer hunting. They've got the high-powered rifles from just about every manufacturer, including Browning. And we like to talk about the X-Bolt from the folks at Browning, which is available in every standard Magnum and short Magnum caliber for deer hunting in Rifle County. And they got the slugs and the rifle ammunition and the scopes and the scope mounting and the bore sighting and everything else that goes along with deer hunting and waterfowl hunting. We talked about last hour, we talked about the A5, the humpback being reintroduced by Browning, the gold light 10 gauge, the BPS pump in 410, 28, 2016, 12 and 10 gauge models, and a 10 and 20 gauge deer models in the BPS pump. So what I'm trying to say is your hunting headquarters is Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. You can check out their website at www.clydesports.com or give them a phone call at 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. They're open 7 days a week. Take all major credit cards. Been around since 1957. Clyde's Sports Shop.
Alan Ellis here for Hammer Hollow Outfitters. Looking for a place to hunt for quality deer or waterfowl? Hammer Hollow Outfitters has thousands of acres spread over 9 farms on Maryland's eastern shore. Brian Doyle and Ken Kirchner are dedicated to your success and your safety. Hammer Hollow has proven blinds for ducks and geese, and their farms produce big bucks year after year. Your chances are good for a fair chase mature whitetail. Visit their website, hammerhollowoutfitters.com, or call 410-903-2872. Hammer Hollow Outfitters, 410-903-2872, for geese, ducks, and quality bucks.
They pulled the trail cameras yesterday at Hammer Hollow Outfitters on one of their farms. There are two giant bucks there. One's got about a 22-inch spread, about a 10 or 12-point. The other 12-point is just magnificent-looking. And there are two other shooters plus those bucks. About a dozen bucks on the farm. Their goose pits are ready to rock and roll, waiting for you to give them a call. Hammer Hollow Outfitters.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just up Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
I enjoy the memories of my hunts as much as I enjoy hunting. The best way to honor the game that you have taken is by preserving your trophy through taxidermy. My taxidermist is Don Travis of Travis Taxidermy near Chestertown. Don has mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, and my pronghorn antelope with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. With over 40 years of experience, Travis Taxidermy has completed specimens from wood ducks to whitetails for thousands of Maryland hunters to the exotic big game animals of Africa and Alaska and beyond. But he would just as soon see you with your buck or your youngster's first goose. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he's not. Nor is he the most expensive, but in my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have been transforming skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of your hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107. Stop by the showroom or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for over 40 years. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto. Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a still. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down, then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy corn squeezing. Ooh, white lightning. Well, a G-man, T-man, a Reverend Lewis too, searching for a place where he made.
What a lightning.
That goes good with oysters. Chris, I don't know. You ever had any white lightning?
No, never have.
That'll take
my foot. That was a good song.
That'll take the paint right off your car. That's for sure. A little bit of history. The Tred Avon River is in Talbot County. That's where this all began. And you mentioned 30 rivers. From where to where?
Okay, it began in 2008 in the Tred Avon.
Right.
When Governor O'Malley put the first cage in the water. We started there with about 800 some cages.
And did he go back and check it 9 months later?
No.
Okay.
He launched it, and then local people took over.
I got you.
And now we're up to 30 rivers with around 7,500 cages.
Okay, so, I mean, how far north and how far south?
Oh, sure, yeah, pretty much the whole bay. I have a map. I called a map up here on my computer.
Okay.
We're up to the Baltimore area, Chester River up in that zone, so
yeah.
The northern bay.
Yeah.
Down to St. Mary's River right near the Maryland-Virginia line.
Wow. Anything north of the Chester?
Let's see.
Sassafras, Bohemia.
Oh, no, you see, it's too fresh up there.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to have a certain salinity.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I got you. So, how do people sign up if they want to become involved in this?
Yeah. Well, the first year, of course, they marketed the program, so to speak, to the Tred Avon, but then from then on, people knew about it. We had press releases, so they contacted us.
Yeah.
A tributary. We like to have the tributary join versus just one or two people in the river.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask that a coordinator come forward. For example, it might be like in the Magathy River Association.
Right.
Some sort of river group, a river keeper.
Right.
So they basically contact us over the winter,
fill
out a short application form, and they enter the program.
Yeah.
We just ask for them to show that they can, you know, get the people together and pull this off. And
so if an individual landowner, individual pier owner contacts you, you ask them to go through their community association or whatever it might be. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like, say someone calls up in the Severn River.
So yeah.
We'll refer them to the local coordinator.
I see.
If someone called up in a river that was not in the program yet,
yeah,
we would explain, you know, there's an application, and would you like to be the river coordinator?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they'll say, sure.
Okay.
So people come to us basically after that first year.
Okay. And so how do the schools get involved?
Well, the schools, it was interesting. You know, we want pier owners, et cetera, because they're right there on the water.
Sure.
And oysters need water.
Of course.
But a couple school systems got curious. They called me up, and that was my first question. Do you have access to the water?
Right.
And if they did, and if they could organize the program, and, you know, they would use it in their curriculum with the students.
Right.
We would provide four cages, and they would work this into their studies. The students measure the oysters, count them, and they learn about the bay and oysters through that.
Mm-hmm. So it's a learning process for the kids in the school, of course, and making them aware of the bay and the health of the bay and that type of thing, how things work. That makes sense. Exactly. So do you have any idea how many different school systems are involved now?
Yeah, actually, I'm surprisingly prepared for the morning.
Amazing.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, probably around 9. I have a list here. They're spread all around the bay.
Okay, that's cool. And so if, you know, we got any school administrators that have access to the water or, you know, can make a project for their school and have access to the water, then we would ask them to get involved with you. Now, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you, Chris?
Sure. I don't mind giving my email on the air. It's cjudy,
yep.
C-J-U-D-Y,
right.
@dnr.state.md.us.
Yep, that's cjudy. CJUDY at dnr.state.md.us, and that's standard DNR email,
right.
You know, address there. So,
right.
Good, very good. Now, where can people learn more about the program if they want to go online and see the videos and see the maps of all the areas and that type of thing?
Well, yeah, that's right. We have maps. We have a how-to list of how to take care of your oysters and problems you may face. So that website is oysters.maryland.gov, that's G-O-V, oysters.maryland.gov.
Yeah, .gov.
Following, you know, HTTP, et cetera.
Right, right. So if you just Google oysters. Google oysters.maryland, you'll get there.
Correct.
No doubt. Very good. All right, well, what else would you like to tell us about the program, Chris?
Well, I'll tell you, this is something that usually doesn't come out in the news because, of course, everyone's interested in the students and the growers and the oysters, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the cages are made in the state prison system.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're made at a metal shop, actually, in one of the prisons, and they're made by a team of inmates, so the idea being to obviously provide some productive work.
Sure.
But also the governor and DNR, they wanted inmates involved in different environmental projects.
Right. Of course they would.
Yeah. And some of the inmates at different prisons work at one of our oyster hatcheries. They
right.
go, you know, daily and do some of the labor there.
Right. Okay. So you got the prisoners involved in making the cages. Now, tell us a little bit about the construct of the cages. You told us about the size, like a boot box. That's 18 by 18 by 6 inches deep, roughly. I mean, I don't know what the exact dimensions are, but...
Well, you're real close. It's 1 foot wide, 18 inches deep, or long, I guess, and then about 8 inches tall.
Okay.
So there's plenty of room in there for these oysters to grow and spread out as they...
Of course, you know, tell people about how big a spat is when it's put in the cage and how big it is when it's taken out of the cage.
Yeah. Well, the wire mesh, it's a heavy wire coated in vinyl.
So right.
It doesn't corrode in the water anywhere like it would if it was bare wire.
Right.
It has a door with a clip, has a rope on it tied to your pier.
Yep.
So it's a wire cage. And to keep the oysters, which obviously are very small when they start out, from falling through, the oysters are set on shells. So we use the word spat, but they're actually stuck on larger oyster shells.
Right.
So the oyster shells are held easily by the cage wire.
Right.
So that's the basic idea.
Okay.
That are probably around a quarter of an inch to an eighth of an inch in size.
Okay.
When they start.
Okay. And then they grow to how big?
About an inch and a half.
About an inch and a half. So that's an oyster well on its way. It's survived 9 months, and it's well on its way to being transferred to a bar.
Right. And then another thing is the shell might have, at the beginning, 5 or 6 or 10 spat on it.
Right.
And as they grow, of course, they make this cluster, call it a clump or a cluster.
Right.
So when the oysters come out, you might have, 4, 5, 6 pretty decent-sized oysters, young ones growing. And that makes a nice clump as it continues to grow on the bottom.
Right.
Makes, if you're a fish, it makes some three-dimensional habitat for you.
Well, of course.
Fish. Yeah.
So then these are collected by the Oyster Recovery Partnership, I'm assuming in a truck with salt water. Is that how that...
Well, actually, they're delivered by the Oyster Recovery Partnership.
Yeah, okay.
Then the collection is by the local folks. So, The riverkeeper or whoever might say, on Saturday, X, bring your boats to this particular location in the river.
Okay.
Plant your oysters. So some rivers have a roundup, so to speak.
I see.
And others just provide a buoy in the river and
so it's
motor there at their leisure.
So it's quite a community event, it can be a community event. And none of the oysters are transported, miles and miles away. They're all in their home rivers, is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. For the most part?
Yeah.
Some rivers don't have a sanctuary
right
close by. So in one or two rivers, the oysters actually go to another river.
Right.
But generally speaking, they're pretty well close to home. And we emphasize, don't go motoring your oysters to the sanctuary if it's blowing. Pick a nice day.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I got you.
Right. Safety first.
Of course, always. So, well, very good. So I guess we pretty much covered the program there with you, Chris. I mean, anything else? You want to take some calls if we have anybody that wants to call?
Sure, call.
And ask questions. The number is 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We're going to invite our listeners to call and jump in the muzzleloader contest if they'd like to get in. We'll continue with the regular programming. If anybody has a question for Chris Judy on Maryland Grows Oysters, we welcome your phone call at 410-922-6680, 1-800. Well, 1-800-922-6680 is fine. And let's take a short little break, and we'll go from there. Time for me to tell the folks about, I lost my little paper. Let me find my little paper, and then we'll go from there. Here we go. All right. Hey, when you go hunting or fishing on the Eastern Shore, be sure to stop by Chesapeake Outdoors on Kent Island for the largest selection of hunting gear, apparel, and fishing tackle. Chesapeake Outdoors has firearms and ammunition for deer and waterfowl, compound and crossbows by Matthews and Excalibur, outdoor clothing and camo by Under Armour and Drake Waterfowl, hunting boots, hip boots, and waders, goose and duck calls, and every accessory you need for your hunt. The friendly and knowledgeable staff can help you find what you need. Services at Chesapeake Outdoors include goose and duck picking. That's goose and duck picking. Bow tuning and repair, custom arrows, scope mounting, and much more. They even have the Bubba Blade knives that you've heard about on TV and ice for your cooler. For fishermen, hey, you need it, they got it. From panfish to rockfish, you're covered. Now, Chesapeake Outdoors, just off Route 50 at That's Route 50 East at Dominion Road, exit 39B on Ken Island. The number there is 410-604-2500, 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. If your marriage has hit hard times, your spouse could turn to modern technology to try to stick it to you. Techniques once accessible only to governments or corporations are trickling down to daily use, and laws regarding privacy and stalking have yet to catch up to the technology. Some husbands and wives are embracing high-tech snooping systems. Companies that sell tracking devices report sales are soaring. More than 9 out of 10 matrimonial lawyers have seen an increase in evidence from smartphones over the last 3 years. Text messages, emails, call histories, and GPS location information can all be used as evidence. It's especially easy for a suspicious spouse to snoop if you leave your phone or computer around. Some people are even sneakier. One wife put a listening device in her daughter's teddy bear. A husband put a hidden camera in his wife's bedroom alarm clock. Whether all of this is legal depends on who you ask. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Louisa. Recently, she got help going online.
Okay, so hit that green button.
This is her first video chat.
Oh, Louisa?
Oh, my gosh. There she is.
And the first time she's seen her niece in 5 years.
It's so good to see you.
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you.
Oh, I missed you.
Brought to you by Connect to Compete and the Ad Council.
Hey, weren't we doing the Duck Commander thing here before the Duck Commander thing got going big time? Weren't we doing that? That's Duck Commander music, man. Cut 'em all, Jack. Did you know that? Yeah, Steve Conover used to write the Duck Commander music for the Duck Commander stuff. Yeah, I met Willie before anybody knew who Willie was, and Phil and Miss Kay. Yeah, I did. I mean, yeah, I am special. It was part of my job, and I brought him to Maryland for their one and only appearance, as far as I know, years ago. But, hey, that's me. Hey, if you guys happen to get a deer and you want to have it processed on the Middle Shore, think about Tuckahoe River Deer Processing. The Tribbett family has a great operation there at 8636 Tuckahoe Road near Denton, 443-786-5199. That's 443-786-5199. All venison is vacuum-packed to your specifications. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your muzzleloader.
You are quite welcome to be to have that opportunity.
Very good.
Yep.
Hey, I was just curious. I know from doing my state taxes, there's a tax credit for homeowners who put invest money into oyster raising systems.
Ah, there you go, Chris. Are you with me?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, Tom.
Very good. How does this tie into it, or can money donated go directly towards claiming that tax credit?
Okay, well, of course, I'm not a lawyer consulting your tax accountant, but well, what I do know about it is that pertains to floats, which float at your pier.
Yes, sir.
Right. So our cages hang by gravity on a rope, so our program would not qualify. Plus, we donate, or we give you the cages and the spat, so you're not putting out any money for our program. So if you were to get a float, pay for that, that would qualify.
Are the cages a more efficient way to raise the oysters than a float?
Efficient in the sense of the work you need to put in. The cages are easy to pick up, put on your pier, wash off, hose down, whatever. A float is pretty good size, and when it's full of oysters, it's very heavy. You have to flip it every now and then, so it's a bit more strenuous.
That's a harder way to do that.
Yeah, a little more strenuous, yeah.
Yeah. Could money, so the next question, I get, like I say, could money donated to you guys as like a, from a charitable standpoint go towards claiming that tax credit, I wonder?
Now, that I don't know. Not specifically the tax credit referring to the law you referred to, but I don't know about a general donation.
Are you 501(c)?
No, the state of Maryland is the government 501(c)(3).
This is a DNR program.
Well, but if you're donating money to the DNR, I bet you could take it off the taxes for Maryland.
Tom, we don't know the answer.
I don't know either. You're right. Okay, very good.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. A quick follow-up. A 501(c)(3) would be like the Chesapeake Bay Foundation or the Oyster Recovery Partnership.
The Oyster Recovery Partnership. And, oh, I'm wearing their hat right now.
Yeah, and CBF runs an oyster gardening program as well.
There you go. All right, let's talk to Bill in Pasadena. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, guys. First of all, I'd like to become enrolled in that opportunity to win that gun.
You are in there. Yes, sir.
Top of the list. I appreciate it.
Yep.
I've got two questions.
Wait a minute. Whoa, back up. Did you say top of the list?
Well, that was top of my list of things.
Oh, top of your list. Okay. All right. You're somewhere in the middle of our list, just so you know. Okay.
I got two questions about the oyster recovery system. Is anything being done to control the cow nose rays, the millions and millions that just flood the bay every year? Is there any fishery out there to kind of thin them out and whatnot?
No, and there's no fishery established. There's no government program to round them up. Virginia and Maryland have problems with cow nose rays eating young oysters.
Yes, they do.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, they just devastate these beds. And I know they're served on some restaurants, so why isn't there like a side program to get the guys to fish for them with large mesh nets that let everything else, go through?
Yeah, well, there was an attempt, I think, from Virginia. Maryland, I think, participated some, to see what could be done to turn these into some sort of food for restaurants or whatever. So if you have any recipes, I think send them to me. I can pass them on to the people who were involved in that. It's really been a hard nut to crack between the two states over the last, say, 10 years.
That would be C. Judy at dnr.state.md.us or S. Vilnit, V-I-L-N-I-T,
correct. Yep.
At dnr.state.md.us.
She's a great contact for that.
Yeah. The problem, Bill, is that, the cow nose rays, as you mentioned, and we talked about this in Maryland Loves Crabs magazine, and there's an actual some pictures online. If you Google cow nose ray, Virginia Marine, what is it, Chris?
Resources Commission?
No, the Marine Institute, whatever they call it. But anyway, they've got photos of cow nose rays in captivity that eating oysters, and it is absolutely incredible how their gills flare, how they flap their wings up, they flare their gills, and just suck that oyster right out of the shell.
Yeah, they have an incredible suction on them.
And crushing.
I've seen these things on some of the best restaurants. A Four Seasons Hotel near where I work had them on their restaurant list as, top menu items.
Well, who knows?
I've never
eaten them, but they must be good to be served at a place like that.
The problem is, Bill, is there's so much to that animal to deal with that, let's put it this way. If it were a blue catfish, you'd have no problem marketing that thing. But because it is a shark or a cartilaginous fish, the preserving, the amount of time it takes, how do I want to say this? The amount of energy it takes to harvest that animal and to take the meat that needs to be done is just—it's incredible because they spoil very quickly. Is what I'm trying to get to.
They have no bladder.
No bladder, right? The waste comes out through the skin, and exactly. So
right. But my second question is the oysters. I'm a participant in the Rock Creek area, and the oysters that are put out are the sanctuaries up by the Fort McHenry. It's my understanding that the oysters can live there, but they can't reproduce there because of the salinity of the water. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's up at Fort Carroll, right at Key Bridge, and salinity is good enough most years for survival, but it's a little bit low for active spawning and the egg and sperm mixing properly. So not a really good spat set up in that area.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Bill. Thank you, buddy.
You do a great job.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Folks, we've got to take a break. Hang on there, Carol, the coordinator for Tillman Island, and Madeline. Just hang on there, and we'll get right back to you. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your Browning hunting headquarters. The A5 humpback shotgun, the BPS pump in all the gauges. The Maxis is a great waterfowl gun you want to take a look at. The X-Bolt high-powered rifle, the Gold Light 10-gauge to reach out and touch someone. And if you're into shooting sports, you've got the 725 Satori Sporting Clays gun and the BT-99 trap gun. Clyde's is your full-line Browning dealer. They got everything they carry. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Don't forget their gunsmithing services, too. Licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, scope mounting, all at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Phone number, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108. Website is ClydeSports.com. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system, period. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity Set, and Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estra spray is still number one to attract bucks. Now there's the Detonator, a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent, hangs on a nearby limb, and brings the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the Igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estra scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer or order online at buckbomb.com or call 1-866-850-6653. Fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. I enjoy the memories of my hunts as much as I enjoy hunting. The best way to honor the game that you have taken is by preserving your trophy through taxidermy. My taxidermist is Don Travis of Travis Taxidermy near Chestertown. Don has mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, and my pronghorn antelope with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. With over 40 years of experience, Travis Taxidermy has completed specimens from wood ducks to whitetails for thousands of Maryland hunters to the exotic big game animals of Africa and Alaska and beyond. But he would just as soon see you with your buck or your youngster's first goose. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he's not. Nor is he the most expensive, but in my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have been transforming skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of your hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107. Stop by the showroom or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for over 40 years. Hey, Travis Taxidermy is a great place to take that youngster's first deer. Give it a shot. He's outside of Chestertown. I recommend him.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
He showed me how to cast a line.
where the whitetail live and how to read their sign. He'd lean my gun up against a tree so he could hold a barbed wire fence for me. Yeah, I learned a lot from watching his ways, like how to hunt smart and how to be safe. He said, one of these days, son, you'll be grown. Remember what I taught you and pass it on.
Boy, there's my hope for my grandson. I can teach him right, that's for sure. All right, Chris Judy's with us from Maryland Grow Oysters program. Madeline is on the line in her car, wants to talk about oysters. Good morning, Madeline. How are you?
If you'd like to make a call.
Madeline had to leave us. Call back. Okay, let's talk to Carol. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Al. I'm doing great.
Good.
I'm a coordinator for Tillman's Island. I just wanted to give a shout-out to Chris. He's doing a really wonderful job with his program. And I wanted to say that we like to call this citizen-based oyster restoration because, as people may know, there's really a large-scale oyster restoration going on. A lot of it's done in Harris Creek, and that's really being pushed by, you know, large government organizations like DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers. But if, you know, you're a small waterfront property owner, you want something that you can do personally to make a difference, this is it. You can grow oysters at your dock, and you can make a difference. We've got 90 growers in our program on Tillman Island. We've got watermen to lawyers. We got residents to second homeowners. We got marinas. We've got community peers. We've got working folks to retirees. And I want to put a plug in for our program because we planted over 227,000 oysters last year.
Chris?
Yeah. Hey, Carol. Thanks for calling in.
Hey.
Glad to hear some coordinators give a shout this morning. Yeah, they're a great group. We have a lot of groups around the bay that do a lot of work for the oyster, like you say, citizen-based. And Carol's group down there at Tillman is fantastic. When the oysters arrive, there's kids, there's adults. It's a big affair to unload the truck. Very energetic group, strong commitment.
There you go. Carol, thank you very much for joining in and telling us, you know, that you've got an active program there and, you know, it can be done in any waterfront community with the right coordinator like yourself and community interest. Like you said, it crosses all economic strata. It's just something that the community can come together and do.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks for holding. Okay. Still with me there, Chris?
Yeah, Carol had a good point. I just want to echo, you know, citizens doing their part.
Yeah.
This program is, you know, people do what they can with what they have, and they have a pier. They enjoy sitting on it, and they often call up and they say, I'd like to do something to help the bay with being on the waterfront.
Sure.
Instead of, you know, just enjoying it. So it's people doing their part. And, you know, any environmental issue, if you pitch in and do what you can, that's important.
Exactly. All right. Well, in this case, I think it's a tremendous program for people who want to get involved. And Chris, just briefly, the survival rate on the sanctuaries, are there any issues there?
Well, yeah, it depends where you are. When those 300 oysters come out of the cage, let's use that as the typical example.
Right.
They go to the bottom. I check them about a year later in some locations. I can't do all 30 rivers.
Right.
So we may see 70% survival a year later.
Okay.
That's very good. We may see 30% survival a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're spread so far across the state of Maryland,
right.
Some areas maybe get hit by a huge storm and the water turns fresh, so it's too fresh and kills oysters. In other areas, we have seen cow nose rays cause high mortalities. So it depends where you are and what the factors are. But overall, a year later, we see basically 50 to 70% survival after the people have done their job.
Are we still dealing, and I know it's endemic in the population, and we're still dealing with MSX and Dermo, in particular in the Upper Bay, but are we growing more resistant oysters now?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but in terms of the cage program, yes, diseases are still present. Oysters are tested, and the diseases are there. Good news is, they're not having the impact that they had back in the 2000s or the 1990s. So mortality is a little bit lower. Of course, we've had a lot of rain over the past 10 years at strategic times during the summer, sometimes, you know, tropical storms.
Sure.
So we've had, bottom line, a decline in mortality, even though disease is still there. And cage oysters, they're the same as other oysters
sure,
on the bottom.
Sure, of course.
You know, so we have not seen big disease impacts on the cage program.
Okay.
We're always cautious to watch out for that.
Oh, yeah, and it, keep your fingers crossed from day to day on that one, that's for sure.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Very good. All right, I hate to do this to you, but we're going to take our last break, and then we'll get back to you for some closing remarks, if you don't mind there, Chris.
Oh, sure.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Don't be fooled by cheap crab prices. That's bull stuff. NBS Seafood offers live Louisiana blue crabs during the off-season. Avoid the pre-steamed, mushy, flavorless crab scandal. Get your live crabs at NBS Seafood. You can enjoy your crabs tonight. Cook your own crabs to unlock that special flavor that fresh steamed crabs are famous for. Just 20 minutes in your steamer, so good your taste buds scream. We even have the crab spice for you. Call NBS Seafood at 410-271-3202. NBS Seafood now has Chincoteague and Pocomoke oysters in the shell or by the pint. Maryland crab meat, live Maine lobsters, live crawfish, wild-cut Gulf shrimp, and many fresh and flash frozen delights, too. NBS Seafood has a roadside stand at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie next to Jim Donnie's RV. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2:30 to 6:30, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30. That phone number is 410-271-3202, 410-271-3202 for live crabs. NBS Seafood, no bull stuff sold here.
Hey, big fat crabs at NBS this weekend. I mean big fat crabs, $40 for large by the dozen.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. The Doe Harvest Challenge is now statewide. Deer hunters, by donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say.
All right. Let's talk to Frank in Easton. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Good morning, Frank. What's up?
I was wondering if Mr. Chris would be familiar with the name Guy Spurry.
Guy Spurry? There you go.
Yeah, Guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He's my brother-in-law, one of the biggest fat setters in the state, I believe.
Yeah, Guy's worked for years in the seed program, which doesn't exist anymore, but he's moved a lot of oysters to help out a lot of areas.
There you go.
He actually has an area in the bay that he rents where he can take oysters all year long.
Yep. Okay. Very good, Frank.
One more thing, Al.
Yeah,
that king seed tree you found up in Hancock?
Yeah.
Where I got my turkey from there?
Yep.
I'm not hunting that tree no more till you go with me. It's your tree from now on.
All right, buddy. I'll be up there.
Bye, champ.
Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye. Found a little tree stand. It's perfect. Let's talk to Tom in Pasadena. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Al. Thanks for letting me enter the contest for the muzzleloader. I appreciate that.
No problem.
How'd you like his pictures I sent you?
I love those pictures.
That's awesome, man. Awesome.
Yep. By the way, the next issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly we're going to do our once a year fishing outlook. We're going to try something and see how that works for everybody. If they like fishing, in the spring or get kicked off with that, we're going to try and include that once a year as far as fishing is concerned.
That'll be great. I've been tearing them up out there. Just we'll let you know.
All right.
And I'll send you more, but I won't overload you.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, Tom. Bye-bye. There he goes. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Assignment for next week. Between now and next week, email me your favorite oyster recipe, and in particular, ladies, oyster stuffing for the holiday season. I'd like to talk about that maybe next week. And don't forget, next week we're going to be after the show. I'll be down at Delmarva Southern Cafe. We'll be there from about 8 to 11. Some of the proceeds there, if you come in and have breakfast and meet with us, we'll go to our promotion that we talked about the first hour called Jerky for the Troops. And Ellis@EllisOutdoors.com is always the email address. You can reach me 24/7, 365 at Ellis@EllisOutdoors.com, my last name. Don't forget about our Facebook page, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, Maryland Loves Crabs, The Outdoorsman Radio Show, and Ellis Outdoors LLC. Like us on Facebook, and Laura will coordinate all that for us. Chris Judy, thanks for joining us this morning. Any parting words?
Well, I tell you what, keep your eye on oysters in the bay. Oysters are important. Do what you can, and if you want to join the program, give me a call or an email.
Email is?
cjudy@dnr.state.md.us.
And for more information, the website is?
Oysters.maryland.gov.
Oysters.maryland.gov. Very good. And don't forget, if you can help the environment too, if you do commit a crime, make sure you wind up in the prison system where they make the cages for the Oyster Recovery Program. Maryland grows oysters. Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity, and this was so much fun. I'll do it again anytime you want.
All right, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Sure.
See ya. There he goes. Chris Judy, and we thank him for joining us this morning. All right. Well, looks like we wound up a little bit early. There's the music. There's the music. It is Youth Day. So, if you have a chance to visit any of our sponsors or all of them, we'd love to have you visit Clyde Sports Shop or Chesapeake Outdoors. We'd like to, if you kill a doe, you want to donate it to the Doe Harvest Challenge and have a chance to win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shop. If that youngster takes a nice buck and you want to have it mounted, or you kill a big goose, Travis Taxidermy is the place to go. Don't forget Battery Warehouse. Don't forget W&W Tire and Auto Service, Bay Line X, and Catonsville Line X. All of our great sponsors, and we look forward to hearing from you throughout the week. I'm taking Jacob hunting today, folks, and I'm going to hope that we can lure in a nice big buck for him. And, have a happy day. Get out, stay safe. I'm going hunting. Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFHD.